Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined again by John Kegley, my co-host. And we both write for San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, which is why we started covering the Chargers 3 years ago when they were still in San Diego. The success from that show led us to pick up this show with Locked On to give you guys an everyday show throughout the week. And we couldn't be happier with it. It has gone great so far. Thank you guys for joining us and listening all the time. We really appreciate that. And John, there's some things we need to get into today. We are going to get into some stats from the game for the Chargers and some Pro Football Focus stats. The grades for Pro Football Focus haven't been posted yet, so we're just going to go with some special stats that we found from the game. Then we're also going to get into the best press conference sound from the post-game interviews with Anthony Lynn and Phillip Rivers. And then we're going to get into the big question of the day at the end of the show. And today, the big question is, are the Chargers more of the team that we saw in week one, or are they more of the team that we saw in week two, which I think is a big question that a lot of fans are asking themselves right now. But, John, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. I just finished booking all my flights to Oakland for the game on November 11th, so can't wait to be in that stadium.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. I mean, that's definitely quite an experience to go to the Black Hole, especially with the Chargers and Raiders rivalry. Definitely a very hostile environment. I hope they can pick up a win for you. So let's go ahead and get into our stats of the game from Sunday's game against the Bills. Usually we do our player grades from Pro Football Focus, but like I said, they haven't been posted yet. But there are still some good stats to get into. My first stat from the game that I want to talk about, John, has to do with Melvin Gordon and what he's been able to do in his playing time so far this season. Melvin Gordon only saw 3 carries in the second half of this last game because of what Anthony Lynn said was basically fatigue, and he said a upper body injury, but nothing serious, so who knows with that. But in the 6 quarters that he has played so far, John, Melvin Gordon has 21 carries and 19 targets for 233 yards and 3 touchdowns. If you span that out over the course of a full game, that's averaging 15 carries, almost 13 targets, 155 yards per game, and 2 touchdowns, John. I mean, that's pretty ridiculous numbers and a very hot start for Melvin Gordon.
It's definitely a hot start. I mean, this guy was a little bit slow his rookie year, but picked it up, never scored a touchdown, and then started leading the league in touchdowns. And now he's looking like he could possibly lead the league in yards. And we've all been missing a running back that could do that since LT retired, because Ryan Matthews could never stay healthy, even though he had the talent. And now Melvin Gordon is showing that he could possibly stay healthy and is now showing that he can move his feet more once he reaches contact and gain those extra yards, maybe break a tackle. And it shows in the stat line that he's getting more yards per game than he usually does, especially at the beginning of the year when he's not really in his mid-season form.
And I think for Melvin Gordon's overall health, I think it probably does bode well for him to have less carries and more targets out of the backfield where he can get in open space, which is where he finds his most success. I mean, them throwing it to him, just a blitz pickup, hot read, Melvin Gordon out of the backfield just as quickly as possible, has had great success for them, and there's no reason to suspect anything will be different. Once he has the ball in his hands in the open field, he's usually pretty good and gets great yardage, especially in the receiving game. John, I know you had a stat that was a little bit worrisome for the Chargers going forward. What do you have for us?
Despite how much success we had offensively this past game, the first half we didn't see many third downs, so it didn't look like a problem. But if you look at our third down conversion rate, we were only 3 of 9. And against the Chiefs, we were 3 of 11. So this is looking like a trend here of the offense not converting their third downs. And yeah, you could say they were a bit more conservative the second half to not show their playbook, but still, you were 3 of 9 on third down, which could also mean you're not putting yourself in a good position, because a lot of those third downs that we had against the Bills in that second half were third and seven, third and eight, and that's not where you want to be. Even third and 12, I think we had a third and 12 this game too, so that's not where you want to be on third down. You want to be third and four, third and three. The great thing though is that on defense, we only gave up 5 of 14 against the Bills and 4 of 10 against the Chiefs, but offensively, it's not looking really good for us for the future when it comes to third downs, and I think that's going to be where games are going to be won for us going forward.
Third downs are an issue, and it continued to be an issue this week and also was an issue last week, being in the 30s in both games as far as percentage of times being successful on third down. In this game, I mean, it changes a little bit, John, if Melvin Gordon doesn't slip on the very first drive on a third and three where he gets two because he just eats it out of the backfield. And really my point is with that is it only takes a couple plays to really reverse your percentage. So it's not as if they can't get better. They're only a few plays away in the game from being a better third down team. But there's no excuses, especially going up against the Rams this week. You're going to have to be much better on third down, and they admitted as much. They know they have to work on it, and I think they have the players to have success on third down, but they're going to have to look deep into what's going wrong to really fix it, in my opinion. And we did talk about Melvin Gordon a little bit in this stat segment, but it's time to talk about the other running back, and I'm getting these stats from Pro Football Focus.
Who, are you talking about the Chaz Newsom?
Yes. Had one carry for 0 yards in this game. No, my real stat of the game, John, is the number one, which is how many of the Buffalo Bills retired at halftime because they were getting beaten down so badly. there's the hard-hitting stats for you. Vontae Davis, of course, you guys know it's been a big storyline for the Chargers. Retired at halftime, and I'm not making that up. He literally put on street clothes from the reports and left the building at halftime. And I'm not going to lie, John, the Bills' defense was better in the second half. So it didn't really work out the way I think he wanted it to. What did you think about that, just quickly, before we get to my other stat?
Well, believe something, even if it's just until halftime. Hashtag just retire. But according to his retirement statement, he said his body wasn't up to speed anymore, and so he just couldn't do it no more, so he left while his body was still healthy. But I mean, why couldn't you just return to the sideline and help your teammates out as a support or something? Why do you gotta walk out on them like that? But as you said, their defense played way better, looked way more hyped, looked like they cared more in the second half without him, so I don't think it's a loss on the Bills' side.
It definitely seemed to galvanize the guys on the defensive side of the ball, and I think that mixed with Sean McDermott taking over the play calling, which he talked about a little bit, had something to do with it as well. But my stat, John, from Pro Football Focus, that was really crazy to me, is that Austin Eckler, so far through 2 weeks, is the single highest graded running back in the NFL. And he also has 24 more rushing yards than Melvin Gordon on 8 fewer carries. And Austin Eckler is actually averaging more yards after contact, 4.5 yards, than Melvin Gordon is averaging in general, 3.8 yards. Austin Eckler somehow this year, John, has been the best running back in football on limited snaps, according to Pro Football Focus, which is just ridiculous. And his play, I mean, it's hard to argue.
You can't argue it at all. I mean, the stats-wise, you could probably argue, like, you don't really have the sample size, if you will. But I think what Pro Football Focus does is it takes what they have, and it tells you how well they've done with what they have. So if you were to give one guy 20 carries and one guy 10 carries, who did better with what they had? Who read the hole better? Who was breaking tackles, made a better decision, a better play? And based on that, Austin Eckler is doing a better job of being smarter with his play than other running backs are, and he's putting in the best performances with what he has. And he's doing way better than he did last year, too, to be honest. I mean, this year he has 16 attempts for 116 yards rushing. Last year he had a third of the carries. He had 3 times more carries. And only 260 yards. Right now, he's already almost halfway there to his last year's stats in yards. So he's going to be set for a career year within the first four games.
He's absolutely just taking on a role in this offense that you can't really put a value on. I honestly think that he is the special sauce that makes this offense go and that can take it from a good offense to a great offense. I think it starts with the play of Austin Ekeler, just being that guy that no matter when he gets the ball, he's getting 10 yards a touch. I mean, we'll get into it. Yeah, and we actually heard the head coach and Phillip Rivers, and we actually heard Phillip Rivers talk about that in his press conference, just having both of these weapons in his backfield and how much it compares to some of the guys he's had in the past, you know, like LT and Darren Sproles type of situation. And he was very complimentary of the young running backs, but we'll get into that next. And, John, I probably could have told you that the Bills were going to lose this game to the Chargers this week. I mean, I don't think that was a stretch by any means. But for most games, I usually don't know who's going to win. But if you think you know, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust me, guys, they are your best bet this season. It's just that time, John. You just really need to get out there and make some bets. It's not just football season. It's betting season. And I would only recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me. That's why I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game live betting, over-unders on fantasy points for all you fantasy guys out there, and the most rewarding player perks in the business. MyBookie is slammed with new bettors and wants to give everyone the best service possible. If you're willing to deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern time, they'll give you an additional $25 free play on deposits over $100. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar when you use the promo code LOCKEDON on MyBookie, that's MyBookie, and don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON. But if you're willing to hold out until after 7 p.m., you can get an extra $25 free play by using the promo code LOCKEDON25. So remember, if you're doing it late and you want to do it after 7 p.m. Eastern time, instead of LOCKEDON, use the promo code LOCKEDON25. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, John, well, now it's time to get into our press conference sound from the game. This is one of my favorite segments, is just going over what these guys had to say and just really hearing it from the horse's mouth. And one of my favorite guys to listen to of all time is Phillip Rivers, especially after a win, especially just when he's excited and just gets into talking football, because you can just see how much he really loves the sport and you can just kind of hear it in his tone. And on Chargers.com, in their press conference, he was asked about the two running backs and how they stack up to some of the guys he's had in the past. Let's take a listen to what he had to say about it.
These guys have a chance. I don't want to slight them in any way. I love these two. I also don't want to slight the other guys that sustained it. But these guys have a chance to be something else. Now, I'm telling you, I mean, the two of these guys, they can be like those others that when we had those kind of combinations. There's no doubt. They're dynamic guys. The way they catch it, run it, and the way they're different. They're not the same, and it's been fun to kind of see how that whole thing can grow. There's no telling how many plays we can run with those two on the field together.
Do you trust Melvin as a receiver more than
I don't think so. I think it's just a gradual build, and I think you know what I think though. I hate to say this speaking for him, but I think he's also embraced the passing game more each year he's been here. You know, his first couple of years, it was Danny who was going to be the guy in any of those situations, no matter what. And then Danny goes down that year, and he had to learn the protections. He had to be in the mix. And then I think now he's just gotten to a point where he sees the running back position as a three-down position, and also who cares how you get the touches. It's not a 25-carry, 150-yard league anymore. It's a 16 carries and 7 receptions. You know, how many touches did he get for 150? I mean, you see it around the league, best backs, that's what they do. And so I think he also has embraced that. Shoot, I don't care if you hand it to me. I'm going to run a heck of a route and throw it to me. You know, not that he didn't embrace it early, but I think he's grown into that. I mean, Wisconsin, it was handed to him and run through holes like this, you know. So he didn't have to throw. Well, I wouldn't have thrown it to him either. He didn't have to. But so I think it's, that's just as he's grown as a pro.
And is he playing quicker because of that?
I think so. That one in the red zone, he got out in a hurry. You know, he had his play action. He had to make sure he checked his protection, but he got out and separated in a hurry. I was really getting ready to throw that to Tyrell, and then I was like, "Oh, there's Melvin." You know, kind of mid delivery. So that was nice by him.
All right, John. Well, you heard it from Philip Rivers himself, and I think it was interesting what he had to say about Melvin Gordon as a receiver in general, because we have seen major strides from Melvin Gordon in the receiving game, and he was talking about a play where Melvin Gordon had to make sure he shored up the pass protection and get a block in before he leaked out for his route, and he did that very well and was paid for it, and he got the touchdown. It was a quick throw. Philip Rivers said he was about to go to Tyrell Williams and didn't, but I thought he really showed his receiving chops on the other throw where he caught a ball at his knees on the front pylon with a guy in his face and just held on to that ball. But, John, do you agree with what Philip Rivers is saying about Melvin Gordon in the receiving game, and what have you seen an improvement in him since he started?
I absolutely agree with Philip Rivers, and one of the things I want to say is I don't see Melvin Gordon improving much in the passing game, but I see him doing more in the passing game. So, for example, his first ever touchdown was in a preseason game that he caught on a passing route in the flats, and he looks like the same exact Melvin Gordon from that play. But now you're starting to see, as you mentioned, he's hitting a block and then releasing into the flat. So now they're doing more with him, so his production is improving. But as far as the passing game goes, he doesn't really drop the ball much. When he catches it, he catches it and turns it upfield really fast, and can usually get you about 10 or 12 yards as long as the play was set up right. There have been times where I've seen the wide receivers run the wrong route, and that set up a linebacker to be right there where Gordon was. But he doesn't mess up much in the passing game. He messes up more in the running game. So the passing game is not a surprise to me that he is still flourishing it, but the fact that he's now doing a chip block and then releasing actually helps the offense a lot, because that makes more open routes in the offense.
Yeah, I would agree with that, and I think that his hands probably have definitely improved since he wasn't catching the ball so much. But with a guy like Melvin Gordon, who can sometimes struggle to find the right hole, I think getting him out in the flat and getting him in the open field just really simplifies the game for him and makes him more effective. And I also want to get into some of the other stuff that happened in this game with Anthony Lynn's press conference. He talks about Desmond King's unsportsmanlike conduct on 3rd and 20. Talk about the weird punt return where the Chargers defender made a great hit about on the 2-yard line and made the returner lose the ball into the end zone, where another Bill picked it up, lost his helmet, and then was struck in the head by Uchenna Nwosu on a really gnarly play, and just a really confusing play because of all the live ball, touchback, not touchback. It was just a really confusing play. So Anthony Lynn gives his thoughts on that. And he also talks about Derwin James and getting him closer to the line of scrimmage.
Stupid. Very stupid. Yes. I can't say it on camera. Very frustrated. Yes, that was very frustrating. And that's what championship teams don't do. They don't make those type of mistakes. But we got to learn from it.
And part of that, that's not a characteristic, I guess, of teams that you coach and you don't want that to.
No, and Desmond knows better. I mean, you'll never see that again from Desmond.
Coach, what was the explanation of the punt, fumble,
whatever? Man, so many things happened with that play. I couldn't even tell you right now, but, you know, it was a muff, and they thought that we committed a personal foul by hitting the guy in the end zone with his helmet off. No whistle was blown, so our players didn't know. It was just a lot happened on that play, so.
What happens on that way? We're actually looking at it in the replay.
Look,
you couldn't tell. The helmet came
out
so fast.
No. It was tough on Tanner. You know, his job is to go down and make the play, and that's what he did. You know, but referees, they're not perfect. And sometimes calling these games in real speed, you know, it can be difficult. But that whistle should have been blown when the helmet came off.
So what did you think of today?
I don't know. You know, when we get back and watch the film, I have a complete evaluation of him, but I thought he started fast. I know he got a sack early in the game.
he had a costly penalty in the game as well. But we'll see how he played when we get back.
And what do you think about the pressure you generated overall as a team?
I thought it was good. Initially, I thought it was really good. I thought, guys, there was an emphasis that Griff put on those guys all week, and they practiced that way, so it did surprise me to see it in the game. Absolutely. We got him more involved in that front seven. You know, things happen a whole lot faster when he's in that front seven to me. You know, he can fly.
All right, John, yeah, that pretty much sums up. I think he talked about that punt return and just how weird that was. I didn't really expect him to clear those things up. That would probably take the head of the officiating committee or something like that. But I did like what he said about Derwin James, and you could definitely see the difference of this defense. I mean, Derwin James is leading the Chargers in sacks right now with two. So I definitely think that was nice, and I think with Uchenna Nwosu, there wasn't really enough, even with his first sack, to really declare anything on him at this point.
I would have to agree. There was also times where he messed up as well on some plays, and he's learning. He's learning right now. He messed up a couple of plays, but he made some great plays too. My thing with him is last game he didn't play much. This game he played more. So if we go about week 6 or week 7 and see what he's become, I think you could tell what type of player he will be. But right now you don't have enough film on him. They talk about the punt play where he hit the guy with no helmet, and I absolutely agree with the reporter that it was way too fast a play. Right when his helmet came off, you couldn't tell because there was guys around him and everything, and he just went in there and made the hit. He was going in there, he was hungry to make the tackle, and he made it. Is it a penalty? Yeah, of course it's a penalty, but can you fault the guy? Not really.
Especially when there was no whistle being blown. I mean, that's on the officials right there. When you don't blow the whistle on a play like that with guys running down full speed on a punt return and it's a live ball situation with a guy in the end zone, I mean, that's on you. If Uchenna Nwosu gets fined or anything for that, I would be pretty upset because that was such a bang-bang play. And I know the optics of it aren't great when you see a guy get hit with his helmet off. I mean, but there's nothing he could have really done. And I think what you're saying, John, about Uchenna is right because there's still a lot of questions we have for him, and it's too soon to really tell what he's going to be as a player, obviously, with his second career game and his first game with real snaps. But the Chargers have a lot of questions, too, and especially I think one big question, and we'll get into that next. All right, guys, it's time to talk about what you're doing when you buy clothes. I know a lot of people, I have many friends who buy all these expensive clothes and friends that have kids that really can't even imagine having to buy new school clothes every year for the clothes they just grew out of. But we actually have a site that can help you out with that, and that's swap.com. Swap.com is the world's largest online consignment and thrift store. It's crazy how much we pay for brand new clothes. Wouldn't it be great if there was a place to discover awesome discounts on gently used clothes? That's what this is. Stop driving to the store after store and sifting through hundreds of racks. Easily sift through millions of clothes in seconds on swap.com. It's much easier to use than shopping in the store itself, and it actually helps the environment too, with over 14 million tons of textiles being wasted each year. Shopping secondhand at swap.com helps prevent textile waste from polluting the environment, which is something you can feel good about. And we're not talking about just, you know, Walmart brand clothes. We're not talking about cheaper clothes. With swap.com, you can get 90% off retail price on your favorite brands like Lululemon, Carter's, Nike, J.Crew, and Gap. And I know you're thinking, well, they're used clothes, but each pair of clothes is quality and inspected and are added to daily. And if something doesn't fit, enjoy hassle-free returns within 30 days. And for our listeners, we have a special offer for you. Get 35% off select items for your first order with promo code Locked On. Plus, find new deals every day on swap.com's homepage. So head over there now. All right, John, well, it's time to get into the last segment of the day, and that's our big question of the week. And I think right now, John, the biggest question to me is, what are the Chargers as a team right now? Are they the team we saw in week one where they lost to the Chiefs, or are they the team that we saw beat the Bills handily?
I think you have to look at this from two different sides of the ball. Because I would say offensively, it's the same team both games. Just one game, we had a bunch of guys drop the ball. And if you're going to say, are we going to be the team that drops the ball or catches the ball? We're going to be the team that catches the ball. But defensively, it's a different story. Because we were all over the Bills in the first half. And we looked like a top-ranked defense. But against the Chiefs, they just did whatever they wanted. Tyreek Hill did whatever he wanted. We had a fullback beat us. It was pretty embarrassing. And if you had to give me the choice of the two, I'd say we're probably going to be what happened against the Chiefs until at least Joey Bosa comes back and fixes things.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you on certain parts of that. I mean, I think as long as the Chargers have this bad streak against the Chiefs, it's hard to really use those games as a measuring point because they struggled against the Chiefs with Joey Bosa on the field as well, even though I think they probably hung a little bit closer in those games, and he does make a huge difference. But I agree. I mean, I think if the Chargers catch every ball they drop in the first game, they might have had a better offensive game against the Chiefs than they did the Bills. I mean, they already put up 28 points in that game with the two at least more touchdowns you get from those drops and more points you left on the board. I mean, they could have had an even better day offensively. And John, I think for the defense, I think it's more similar to what you saw in game two, in my opinion, because I think they are going to be able to get more pressure than they did against the Chiefs. I think they showed a little bit more of what they had in their book, and Gus Bradley really opened it up by sending blitzes, by putting Derwin James closer to the line of scrimmage, just using plays that worked to get in Josh Allen's face and really harass him all day. And I think you saw some of the flaws of this defense too by, you know, giving up a couple good drives to a bad quarterback, getting beat on deep balls, which has been a theme so far this year, even though Casey Hayward usually plays balls in the air much better than that. I think there are still some holes. And I think really, John, the answer is both. I think there are certain things in both of these games that really are their identity. And I think the one thing they really stuck to in both games, John, is getting the running backs involved. I think that part of what we've seen in the first two games is a staple for this offense. The two running backs have been the MVPs of both games so far this season. And I think when you have two guys like that, you know, a two-headed monster, really, you have to get those guys involved. And I think they've been really creative offensively. I think they've shown some creativity they haven't in the past and some unpredictability, which I think is good. And I think just that's the one thing I take away from these two games is I think it's going to be a huge year for both those guys out of the backfield. And I think that is really what they want to do when everything is going right.
The fact that the running backs are making a big play in all this is going to open up the wide receivers more. And you saw that against the Chiefs. When we started getting Eckler involved and Melvin Gordon involved a little bit, and started getting the tight end involved because of the running backs, it opened up those deep passes for Tyrell and Travis to drop. But the production of the running backs is going to make a huge part of this offense the rest of the year because it's going to get those wide receivers open, which is why I believe that regardless of what you saw week one or week two, the offense is going to stay the same. One thing I would say that might change is you might see more tight end during the year. That's about only there. I think Virgil Green might become a bigger piece of the offense throughout the year because people are going to try and stop the running backs more when they start noticing, you know, hey, if we can stop Eckler, we can stop the offense. And then here comes Virgil Green with an 8-catch performance. You're going to be like, where did this guy come from? He's supposed to be our run blocker. And that's all going to be because of, as you mentioned, how well the running backs have been used in this offense.
Yeah, and I think Virgil Green took a good step towards that in this game, John, with 3 catches for 55 yards. I mean, that would have been one of his biggest games ever as a Bronco post-Peyton Manning. So I think that they're getting him more involved slowly, but I think you're right. And I also think that you're going to see more explosive plays than you saw in week two against the Bills. I think when you saw against the Chiefs, I think you're going to see more of those deep plays where those guys drop those passes. I think you're going to see more explosive type of plays going forward and Phillip Rivers trying to air it out a little bit more because at the end of the day, he's a gunslinger and gunslingers do what they do. And he is going to get tempted by those deep passes. And you're going to need big plays like that when you have the Rams coming up this week, and that will be on our next show, what we talk about on the crossover episodes. We'll get into that then. But that is going to wrap it up for today's show. John, thanks for joining me. Make sure to go follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to follow us individually on Twitter at DanTalkSports. And John Kegley is at BiggestChargerFan on Twitter. Also, make sure to go like our Facebook page, Locked On Chargers on Facebook, so you can catch our live shows that we do on Thursdays. And also make sure to just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast from, whether it's iTunes, and continue to keep downloading our show throughout the week. We'll be back with you guys tomorrow for a crossover episode with our friend Brad Motter, who we did a show with in the off season, just talking about each team's season. I'm excited to get him back on the show, and we'll have that for you guys then. So until then, we'll talk to you guys next time. Take it easy and go Bolts.